Good evening, and welcome to the Rabbi Yosef Kalter Bitocha Message Series, sponsored by Dr. Mrs. David and Orly Simai. As a schus for a civic, we Yaakov Aaron ben Rochel, and for Shleimel, Elio ben Sora, and Mordechai ben Sora, and Lili Nishmas, Malka bas Sorav, Chaim Yitzchok, Rav Shleimel Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Elio Chaim ben Rav Chaim Yitzchok, Orin ben Moshe, and Risha Gittel Basarav Eliezer Manoach. I thought that we would today try to focus on an interesting concept that we have not discussed or even touched on before. And that is, there are many statements that we find in Chazal that are sources of our being able to trust that Hashem will deliver for us. And when we follow those directives, we can be assured that results will happen. There's a principle, for example, dialet sora b'shaito. You have right now, you have a thing that has to be done, and there might be a sora later. No, don't worry about that. We do what we have to do now, and enough litzora b'shaito. When it comes, we'll deal with it. Another mishnah in Pirkei Avos. One who accepts the old Torah, then Malchus, the taxes and Derech Eretz, is making money, is removed from him miraculously. Another one we just read in the parasha, one who goes mispal for his friend, he's needed the same thing, he'll be answered first. These are statements which can be mechazik ar bitochon, because Chazal have told us that this is the reality in which we live. But an interesting thought occurred to me. It's quite certain that when the Bnei Yoelim gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu these principles and all the other principles that are relevant to how we conduct our lives and how we can successfully conduct our lives, there's no doubt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, knew, and had in mind, Kavi Yochel, each and every individual in every generation that would take advantage of these principles. If I use the concept of dialet sora b'shaito to make a decision, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had this in mind from Har Sinai, knew that I was going to use it, and in a sense directed it to me and to anyone else who will take advantage of it in any of the generations. So in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only gave us formula to live the successful life, he addressed them individually to us, I would say, with love. An individual here, my dear, these are addressed to you. I would like to, in the little time that we have, to show from personal example how some of these things pan out. Many years ago, when we started the yeshiva in the San Fernando Valley, we had taken over a ninth grade from a day school. There was a ninth and 10th grade. And initially, the only way to do it was that they were in the same building. They had separate comings and goings and changing classes and breaks and everything, but for the same building, it wasn't an ideal situation by any means. But the second year, we had the opportunity to move the boys' division to another building right across the parking lot. So we'd have the girls on the third floor of one building and the boys in a building across the park, which would be a major tikkun. Not where we had to go, not where we wanted to go, not where we were going to go, but a tikkun certainly, temporarily. But we had a shaila, because once we do that, the balabatim, who were then in charge of the school, would have a hard time hearing that once you have two separate buildings, you're going to move now, you must move the boys further away, a mile away, whatever it was, to another campus altogether. So we didn't know what to do. We asked the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecharei Lebracha, Rav Benach Leibowitz, and he said, "Dialet Sora B'Shaito. Right now you have a Tikkun Godel. You can separate. We'll rely on Hashem. Dialet Sora B'Shaito. The Sora will come. We'll deal with it." That year, the city of Los Angeles offered the temple $50,000 for that one building that we were using for the boys for the coming year, for a program for blind people. We were paying $12,000 a year for both buildings. course, they had to ask us to leave. And we moved to a separate campus, and, you know, adayim hazeh. But what was very interesting, the problem for the blind people disappeared in a year. It's just 1 year. Especially for us, we took advantage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive to us directly at Har Sinai when he taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He certainly had us in Zinim that it goes for us in this circumstance, at this time, in the mid-70s in the San Fernando Valley, Da'ilasor B'Shaito. And we saw in front of our own eyes how miraculously this advice turned out to be the solution to our problems. Another personal incident, we had expanded, developed a little bit over a few years, had sent away Talmidim to learn in yeshivas in New York, Paris, Israel. They were home for the summer. They were talking about staying in the yeshiva for the year, and we looked at a big chizuk for the Bismedrash, and just a small token of Bismedrash, and for the high school, and for the community, five or six wonderful B'nai Torah. But they had one condition, that besides just giving a shir every day, I should spend the morning seder in the Bismedrash, because, you know, they needed that to talk and learning, and this, there wasn't really a big oil of that. I said I would love to do it, but I owe a few $100,000 from previous years and another few hundred. So much, how can I? 4 hours a day? I don't know if I can make such a commitment. I said, give me 24 hours. Go home and I asked my wife. She says, Hamishna Mefureshes and Pirkei Avos in the third parak. Amar Rav Nechunya ben Hakono, Hamakabel Olav Oil Torah, if you accept the burden of Torah, which 4 hours sitting every day in a Bismedrash certainly should qualify, then the burden of Malchus, which was payroll taxes or Derech Eretz and making money, that would be removed miraculously. Makamo. Next morning, I went back. I told the Chevra, Shredish Elul, we have a deal. I'm in the Bismedrash. That night, I met someone. Says, my father wants to talk to you. His father spoke to me. He wants to introduce me to someone in one of his buildings who's very, very sick, who has no family, who needs some help. His apartment, his this, food, helping him with this. And, you know, we met him, and then we sent in the chevra to help him to clean up, to buy him food. And you can see he ended up in the hospital pretty quickly. He was very sick, had no family. He wrote a will, passed away Yud Zayin Elul, like 2 weeks into Elul, 2.5 weeks into Elul. Left the yeshiva $1 million, paid up all of our debts, took care of the whole year. Amekabel olav oil toiro, ma'avir men ol malchus ol derech eretz. Directive was given to us directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. Don't ever say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't communicate with us, because in the principles that he taught us in Chazal, they were directives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and sees and is not limited by time or any knowledge, any information, and intention, kaviyochol, whatever that means, intended, addressed to us. Third situation. In February 95, a fine gentleman came to me. He has a very choshev moysid. He needs help getting some bequest that was left. A relative of his father's, he's the next of kin, and the lawyer was making some trouble. So he asked me if I could go with him to visit the lawyer. So I said, fine, you know, we'll go in a couple of days, made an appointment. I said, how much do you think you're going to be able to get for the bequest? He says, hopefully $100,000. Fine, my pleasure. 2 hours later, I get a call from a friend of mine in Los Angeles, who was a regular donor every month, but a special thing happened. He did some deal in business. He says, I'm sending the yeshiva $100,000. Next day I had it. Went to the lawyer. Fine. It hit me as we're going to the lawyer. Mispal bad chaveroi. Mispal will help try to get it. Either way, it would be the same. Hu tzorech lo yisagov, and I certainly needed it as much as he did. Hu nehne tchila. I was nehne tchila. I got it. Problem is, 2.5+ years went by, and they didn't get their money. And I kept telling them, state hu nene tchila. Tchila has to be the first of a series. If I was the only one that was nene, that was answered, then I'm not tchila. I'm not first, I'm only. And whatever. Finally, 3 years, February 98, comes running down to my office. He says, the judge signed off on the deal. So immediately I asked him how much. He says, 250. I said, 250? Im Kane, if that's true, then I have to get another 150 before you get your 250, because I got 100 and I'm supposed to get another 150, so I should be nanet chila. And it was all assumed from this one source because everything was just a regular budget. Anyway, he looked at me a little bit funny. But a couple of days later, I get a call from the same friend. He says, remember the yeshiva owed me $155,000? I'm Michael for giving the loan. I said, ooh, 100, 155, it's 255. I call him and I say to my friend, yeah, I says, you know, there's another $5,000 out there. And he looks me straight in the eye. And I was significantly older than him and says, you're crazy. And I told him, I said, that may be true, but it's irrelevant to the conversation. Next day he comes running in. He says, what happened? He says, he got the check. But when the judge signed off on the 250 for them, he also signed off on a $5,000, same bequest, 5,000 for another, like a kirub, some kind of an operation. Okay, so let me see the check. It's very important that I see the check so I could see what's going on. The check didn't say 250, it said $252,600. So $2,600. Well, I said, what's that? He says, well, they were taking time, they were fooling around. So the judge tacked on some kind of a tax or interest or a penalty or something. So I said, very nice, but the numbers are not perfect. What can I do? Not too bad, but not perfect. A few days later, next week, I get the printout from my friend's controller, and we had made a mistake. We did not owe him 155. We owed him 157.5. We were off by $100. And I was Michael $100 of my back pay. And it ended up that we had everything before they did. These are three examples, but there's countless more. There's Shluchim Mitzvah Eidon Izokin and so many. And the idea is very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us that he will take care of us. And I view, and I think nobody could dispute that view, because as a fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows Meirish, everything that's going to happen. And it's all there to him before it happens, whether it's hundreds or thousands of years later, whether it's all over the world, whether it's a million times at a million situations at the same time. It's all within the scope of his knowledge. And therefore, this is personal information that he's directing to me. And when I follow that information, I am following a directive, comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's such an ability to have bitochon, because it's a promise, it's a commitment, it's a statement, and it's addressed to me. It isn't even just a general statement, but it's personalized. Now, there are times when people will see, well, I didn't see it happen exactly like this. That may be. Maybe we didn't trust enough. Maybe we didn't rely on it enough. There may be other reasons. But seeing that these things happen, just these three examples from three different messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Har Sinai, I think can give us a chizuk that when we, not only do we have the ability to have bitochon based on a feeling that we have inside, but when there's a promise from Chazal, when there's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a spal bat chaver hu ne'netchila, I'm a kabel ovo ma'ol ter wavin ol ma'chzol der heres, die ol etzora b'shaito. This is what you should do. When we have these promises, shluchem mitzvah ein nizokin, and we rely on them, then we can secure our bitochon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly influence or have a much greater influence on the results. And by seeing a couple of samples of how it works, I think that can enhance our ability to be able to find that bitochon. Okay, all the best. Good night to everyone, and call to